Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is actually part of the Trump taxes story. I'll tell you more. Also, the Democrats are being accused of an anti-Catholic bias. And Billie Eilish has a new documentary on the way. That's all ahead. This is Relevant Daily.
It's Relevant
Daily. It's Relevant Daily.
Relevant Daily.
It's Relevant Daily.
Hey everyone, I'm Tyler Huckabee. Welcome to The Relevant Daily, where I bring you what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture. All those stories are coming up right now. First up, on Sunday, the New York Times dropped a bombshell report on President Donald Trump's history of paying taxes, or lack thereof, reporting that he'd paid $750 in federal income taxes in 2016 and nothing at all in many other years. The report painted a picture of a man in hundreds of millions of dollars of debt and a, quote, decade-long audit battle with the Internal Revenue Service over the legitimacy of a $72.9 million tax refund that he claimed and received after declaring huge losses. Trump has refused to release his tax returns over the last 5 years, and the NYT report, if it's true, shows why that might be. It's a blow to his carefully cultivated image as a shrewd financial wizard. Now, Trump has tweeted fake news, presumably in response to the NYT's reporting, and one solution to all of this alleged debt has been Trump's hotels, where his newly high profile has been a driver of business. The New York Times reports that among his many other pricey ventures since 2015, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association paid at least $397,602 to Trump's DC hotel for at least one event during its World Summit in Defense of Persecuted Christians. According to the BGEU's website, that event was attended by Vice President Mike Pence and other Republican politicians, as well as many Christian leaders from around the world and Michael W. Smith. On Twitter, the late Reverend Billy Graham's grandson, Boz Chavijian, expressed dismay at the news. He called it messed up. He said, quote, wow, almost $400,000 paid to the Trump Hotel, and most of that money likely coming from hardworking donors to BGEA, who give primarily because of their love for my late grandfather, and who probably couldn't afford to stay even one night at the Trump Hotel. Chavijian has been a frequent critic of the Trump administration, as has Graham's granddaughter, Jerusha DeFord. Even his Graham's son, Franklin Graham, has been a very big supporter of the president. Now, the New York Times said that other articles with more findings will be published throughout the week, so we'll be keeping an eye on those for more elements of this story that might fall into our lane here at The Relevant Daily. And other kind of similar related news over the weekend, the idea that Democrats are anti-Catholic picked up a lot of steam on some corners of the internet. Conservative pundit Hugh Hewitt posted a tweet arguing that, quote, the left despises every Catholic, indeed every person of any faith. Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse agreed. The Democrats questioning President Donald Trump's Supreme Court Justice nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, were exposing what he called anti-Catholic bigotry. Even Vice President Pence got in. He agreed that criticisms of Barrett revealed an intolerance about her Catholic faith. So, is that fair? We did a little bit of a deep dive over on the site. Now, first of all, this is a broad brush, right? Accusing an entire political party of any kind of bigotry, anti-Catholic or otherwise, is a reach. It takes a lot of evidence to prove something like that. And without that evidence, it smacks a lot of political opportunism rather than studious concern. But here's what we do know. Barrett's Catholicism is clearly very important to her. She's spoken about the influence her faith has had on her legal decisions many times in the past. In fact, she's argued that Catholic judges should recuse themselves from questions about the death penalty since the Catholic Church frowns on capital punishment. It's definitely true that some Democratic politicians have questioned her about this influence in some, let's say, eyebrow-raising ways. As one very famous example, California Senator Dianne Feinstein infamously told Barrett that, quote, the dogma lives loudly within you, and that's of concern. Now, that's a weird and kind of unsettling accusation, and it was criticized, deservedly so. There's also been no shortage of unjustified hysterics from certain critics about what Barrett means by phrases like the kingdom of God or Christian world view. Now, these are very commonplace phrases in the church. There's nothing sinister intended by them. They're not shibboleths for Christian nationalists. These are just things that people who go to church say a lot. And there have occasionally been some attempts by critics, usually on the left, to paint these as being something that's a lot more sinister than they actually are. Also, true that the policy aims of the Democratic Party don't always line up with the teachings of the Catholic Church, particularly where matters of abortion are concerned. In fact, Times op-ed columnist named Elizabeth Brunick wrote about the ways that Catholicism doesn't always square neatly with a liberal democracy. That column appeared to be the spark to Hewitt's charge that Democrats hate Catholics, but Brunick herself is a Catholic, and she's not actually a Democrat either. But there's also a whole host of reasons to be wary of any attempt to paint this party as anti-Catholic. For one thing, the Democrats currently are trying to get a Catholic to be president. Joe Biden has been a Catholic for his entire life. For another thing, Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, she is an appointee of President Barack Obama. She is a Catholic, as is House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, along with about 44% of all self-identified Catholics in the U.S., according to Pew. So, like most faiths, Catholicism doesn't necessarily sit neatly in any political party, left or right, without a little tension. That means that the faithful will occasionally find themselves at odds with elements of their party leadership and vice versa. That's probably true of Protestants as well, whatever political party any Protestant listeners I have here are a part of. And yeah, that can make for some uncomfortable confrontations that might sometimes veer into anti-religious rhetoric. And we should all be ready to stand up and defend people of faith from unwarranted attacks. It would have been nice, for example, if some of these leaders who are concerned about anti-Catholic bigotry had spoken up after pastor and Trump ally Reverend Robert Jeffress characterized Catholicism as, quote, a product of Babylonian mystery religion that is part of, quote, the genius of Satan. But we should also be careful about generalizing for the sake of cheap political points. Coney Barrett has political beliefs that are rooted in her faith. These beliefs will set her against politicians and voters on the other side of her political aisle in meaningful ways. Those politicians and voters will need to be mindful of the ways that their criticisms of her can and do come across to people of faith that can be offensive. But her supporters also need to remember that not every political critique constitutes a religious attack. And you can read more about this story over at the homepage, relevantmagazine.com. Finally, you don't get the kind of pop music accolades Billie Eilish has enjoyed without getting a behind-the-scenes doc, and sure enough, Apple has announced that they've locked down the rights to one of the most fascinating rags-to-riches music stories of the decade. Yep, The World's a Little Blurry is headed to theaters, maybe, and Apple TV Plus definitely in February, promising lots of never-before-seen footage and possibly some new music, too. There's a brief teaser. We've got it posted over the site. Doesn't do much more than give a little snippet of a very young baby Billie Eilish at the piano, but it ought to be enough to get fans salivating over what could be coming here. The movie will be directed by R.J. Cutler. He's done a lot of documentaries, a lot of political documentaries, actually, so it'll be interesting to see how he handles this material. If you've been listening to The Daily for a while, you know that Eilish started a podcast with her dad a couple months ago in which she discussed a brief but evidently very intense religious phase. Now, these days, Eilish says, quote, I don't not believe and I don't do believe. I'm in a very neutral position when it comes to God. This documentary might give a little more of a window into just what makes Eilish tick. We'll be looking forward to this one. As we look forward to everything Billie Eilish does, we'll be keeping an eye on this. You can watch the trailer at the homepage at relevantmagazine.com. You can read more about all these stories we're covering today over at the homepage at relevantmagazine.com. For the latest, make sure to follow us on social media. Twitter at Relevant, Facebook and Instagram at Relevant Magazine. You can subscribe to our other podcasts there as well. I'm here every weekday bringing you the latest at the intersection of faith and culture. Thanks for listening, everyone. This is Relevant Daily.